is Jesus?
Who is Jesus?
Don't know.
Who is Jesus?
I know who he is.
Yep, he's the guy who claimed to be the only way.
The only way.
The only way.
To God.
God. The only way to God.
In the Bible, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me.
What did he mean by that? I mean, it seems a little narrow for my mind.
He meant what he said. That if you want to get to God, he's the only way.
The only way?
The only way. How can he make a claim like that?
He can make a claim like that because he's intolerant.
Intolerant?
Extremely intolerant.
That doesn't make any sense to me. I thought Jesus was all loving and all caring. I thought he affirmed everyone's belief system, no matter what it was.
No matter what it was, Jesus loved everyone. I must have mistaken that guy with someone else because he is intolerant.
And extreme.
Intolerant.
And if you don't believe in him,
you miss out on heaven.
Like I want to spend my eternity with someone who's that narrow-minded.
Yeah, I'll let the Christian crusaders spend their eternity with that Jesus, but don't count on me being there.
And besides that, if God is such a loving God...
If God is such a loving God...
Why would he keep good people out of heaven?
They deserve to be there just as much as the rest of us. I'm a good person. You're a good person.
We're all good people, just trying to do our best with the cards life has dealt us. We're all good people.
But God won't let us into heaven?
Because we didn't believe in Jesus?
That seems petty.
It seems so small of him.
Intolerant. It seems so narrow-minded to believe in only one way to God. Don't you agree that there are many roads all leading to the same destination?
I do agree. And besides that, if God is so multifaceted, how can there be only one way to him? If a person in Africa dies without ever hearing about Jesus Christ, is that person going to be kept out of heaven?
Give me a break. There's got to be more than one way to heaven.
Give me a break.
I know one thing. I know that when we die, we'll all discover the truth.
And I know what we'll discover. We'll discover that all religions teach the same thing anyway.
And as long as you're sincere about your beliefs,
you'll be just fine.
Just fine. You and I'll be just fine. Look at yourself. Look at me. Don't we look just fine?
You look fine. I look fine. We're just fine. And when we die,
we'll be just fine.
Because it doesn't really matter what you believe. What matters is that you're sincere about what you believe.
It just matters that you're sincere. I'm sincere.
You gotta be sincere.
What's true for you?
And what's true for me?
Can be different things. Do you honestly think that such a huge God would only create one belief system that's true? He's bigger than that.
I can believe the Buddhist way to God.
And I can believe the Islamic way to God.
And we'll both get there.
Where?
Heaven.
Yeah, we'll all go to heaven. That's what God wants anyway.
That's what he wants. I don't care what you think is true, but I respect your right to choose your truth.
And I don't care what you think is true, but I totally respect your right to choose your truth.
I just want what works best for me. You know, whatever makes me happy.
I just want to be happy.
Don't we all deserve to be happy? And our beliefs should lead us to that happiness.
It's all about what works for me.
It's gotta work for me.
What you believe is fine.
But don't tell me what to believe.
I have a right to believe what I want.
And I have a right to believe what I want.
And I'll meet you in heaven one day. When all is said and done.
When all is said and done. What if we're wrong? Have you ever thought about that?
I try not to go there.
What if there really is only one way that leads to God? What if all the other religions in the world are leading people down a path that's ends in eternal destruction? What if Jesus is exactly who he said he was? What if Jesus is the way? What if Jesus is the truth and the life? You see, when confronted with Jesus and his claim to be the only way to God in heaven, many people choose to ignore this declaration. Or as the gentleman, said in the video, I try not to go there. It's all good. This is actually the second time a video started playing in the middle of services today. It's all good, right, Sam? You know, when we think about the masses of people in the world, that's all right. Brian wanted to come preach, and I may just let him come on. His mom and dad's here this morning, and they'd rather hear him preach anyway. It's all good, guys. But when we think about the masses of people in the world, and the people who are following other religions, I mean, I really don't think we have a concept of the number of people that live in the world today. I mean, we think Northwest Arkansas has really grown. It's huge now, isn't it? There might be 500,000 people living here. Did you know that there are cities in China that you've never heard of that have 7, 8, 9, 10 million people? I went to a city in India that did not have an airport. The closest airport was 6 hours away. I had to take a 12-hour train to get there. I finally get there, and it's a small town of 1 million. In the country of the Philippines, a land area half the size of the state of Texas, there are over 100 million people living there. Five times the number of people living in the state of Texas. Folks, I'm talking about masses of people who are deluded and believing lies. Choosing to ignore the declaration that Christ made of himself when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I wonder if you are like that gentleman in the video and thinking, you know, I try not to think about what if I'm wrong. It is true that each of us has the right to believe what we want. But let me say again, I've said it multiple times as we've been walking through this series, we can be sincere about our beliefs and still be sincerely wrong. The culture says, what is true for you isn't necessarily true for me. And this brings us back to our original question, and that is truth relative? Or is truth absolute? I want you to think back a couple of months ago, if you were here, and when we first started this series, and if you've lost track, you may not realize, but we're into sermon number 12 in our series, Truth, Relative, or Relevant. And about 2 months ago, we looked at a question, which was, is it irrational to believe in the existence of God? And in that sermon, I introduced you to the concept of a world view. Do you remember us talking about worldview and how that the problem that we face is not so much a one ideology against another ideology, but a mindset, a worldview? You see, a worldview is the framework from which we view reality and make sense of the world. It's any ideology or philosophy or theology or a movement or a religion or whatever. Anything that provides an approach to our understanding of God. You see, there are people all over the world that approach God in very different ways than the way we approach God. You know, as you go through the small villages in Southeast Asia, in countries like Cambodia and Vietnam and Laos. As you begin to enter into a village, you'll see a small house built. Looks like it would be like a dollhouse almost. And you would see there in front of it a plate of food and maybe some money. They're approaching their God by offering up to the God of that village food and money on a plate. The food is never consumed. I would be guessing to ask what happens to the money. But the fact of the matter is that is their worldview. If they do not make those offerings, then the gods, little g with an S, the gods in their worldview will bring harm to their families. I've shared this before. People in the Philippines are very superstitious, as are many animistic cultures, but they all have nicknames. Because in their worldview, in their belief system, if your given name is known widely, publicly, and the spirits know your given name, then they are able to steal your soul. You think, well, that's just stupid. No, that is their worldview. And they believe in these things sincerely. Now, what results is quite comical, because you get all kinds of funny nicknames. We called them doorbell names because we had friends named Bing and Bong and Dong and Ping. It's not stupid. It's who they are. Their worldview is determining their belief system. And when you have a secular humanistic worldview, the obvious conclusion that you come to is that we must all coexist. I'm going to pause for just a second. Jessica, do we not have a slide? They're coming. Okay. The interesting thing is I have slides for my introduction and nothing for my sermon. And so we're almost to the place where I'm going to not need them anyway. So, muchas gracias, señorita, señora. All right, that's it. Thank you. Have you ever seen this? Where do you normally see it? On a bumper sticker. That's right. Coexist. And if you're unfamiliar, each of those letters symbolizes a different world religion. The idea started as a campaign, mainly selling t-shirts and bumper stickers and that kind of stuff, promoting the end of discrimination against all religions, as well as just all discrimination in general. So it was for Jews, Buddhists, Christians, atheists, blacks, whites, homosexuals, everyone, to get along or to coexist. Why can't we all get along? You know, it sounds good, doesn't it? On the surface, it sounds good, and we want to all get along, but the reality is that all of these ideologies contradict one another. They cannot all be true. John 14:6 makes that clear, and we'll be looking at that in just a minute. They contradict one another. Mark Clark, in his book, The Problem of God, addresses this issue in chapter 9 of the book, called The Problem of Exclusivity. Exclusivity. And this is what Mark Clark writes in that book. He says, the central claim of Christianity is maybe its most controversial in modern times. It's the claim that Jesus Christ alone connects humankind back to God. That he is the exclusive means of salvation, the only way to heaven, peace, and ultimate joy in life. And that no other religion or worldview can provide these things. He continues and says, many find it extremely offensive to claim there is only one way to God. Now pay close attention to this and realize Mark Clark is a pastor in Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada. And he writes this, in a recent article in Canada's Maclean's magazine entitled, How Canadian Are You? More than 30% of Canadians said that they were most uncomfortable around evangelical Christians. 30% of Canadians said that the people they were most uncomfortable around were evangelical Christians. A similar percentage as other top untouchables, such as drug addicts and child abusers. The reason? Primarily because Christians were viewed as narrow-minded bigots who believe that their way is the only right way when it comes to salvation. Did you hear what he said, this article stated? Can you believe that? One-third of Canadians put evangelical Christians on the same level as drug addicts and child abusers because of their narrow-minded, bigoted ideologies. Now, I don't have the numbers for America. I don't know if that study has been done or not. But my guess is that we're not too far behind Canada in this way. The fact is that many Christians struggle with this idea as well. They wonder, how can a God that appears to be all-loving, how can a God say to all those people that they are wrong and that they deserve eternity in hell just because they believe in a different religion than evangelical Christianity? There are a lot of people who question that very thing in their mind. Mark Clark went on and said this. Remember, he's from Vancouver, British Columbia. He said that day in and day out, he sees beautiful people of different faiths and convictions, yet he must acknowledge that if Christianity is true, all of those people are wrong about God, and all of those people need to be saved from their sin by Jesus and by him alone. You see, a lot of people in the world have no problem believing in Jesus, but it is that exclusivity. I can't say that word this morning for some reason. The exclusiveness of Jesus alone that they have a problem with. Nonetheless, they do not see their need of a Savior. They cannot see the exclusive way of salvation because they are blinded by their deep-seated need to be inclusive. Have you heard that term lately? Inclusive? Yeah? That's kind of a buzzword these days, right? We must be inclusive. Inclusivism is the idea that no one has a lock on the truth. Indeed, that all religions are, you know, have some measure of truth and are a pathway to God. Or some of them don't think of it as a God, but some transcendent reality. So while atheism says that all religions are false, inclusivism says that all religions are true. Now, I want to share an illustration with you this morning. I almost showed you a video, but I decided that the video was not appropriate, so I'm going to tell you about it. I want to say, first of all, I didn't watch this movie. But I read about this illustration and I thought this is too good to pass up. Please don't tell me if you've seen the movie, but the movie's called Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. I'm sure some of you have seen it. Yeah, James is already denying that he's seen it, so. Okay, good enough. In it, the main character is Will Ferrell. And Will Ferrell kind of drives me nuts. He's kind of a crazy guy. But anyway, he decided that, or in this movie, he is a race car driver. And so apparently he's driving around the track, has a wreck, and his car's flipped upside down, and they're pulling him out of his car. And for whatever reason, Will Ferrell in the movie thinks that his clothes are on fire. Now, there is no fire, but he thinks that his clothes are on fire. And so the way that he reacted is interesting. He starts running across the racetrack and he screams out, "Help me! Help me, Jesus! Help me!" And then he continues and says, "Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah! Help me, Tom Cruise! Use your witchcraft on me to get the fire off of me." And then he finally says, "Help me, Oprah Winfrey." Kind of a stupid illustration, maybe. But the point is, that's what it means to be inclusive. When faced with seemingly fatal consequences, this character wanted to cover all of his bases. He didn't want to just cry out to God because, well, what if God's not the answer? Let's cry out to all of these others as well. Folks, that's not going to work. How can Jesus be the only way? The question we're asking today is it true that all religions lead to God? Here are what a few experts on world religions have to say about this. Mahatma Gandhi, regarded as one of the world's most spiritual men in his lifetime, he said, "My position is that all great religions are fundamentally equal." Oprah Winfrey said this, "One of the biggest mistakes humans make is to believe that there is only one way. Actually, there are many diverse paths leading to God," she says. The idea behind exclusivism is that all religions are true, or at least partially true. And therefore, every religion, they say, has value. And those who think otherwise are to be branded as narrow-minded, bigots, and judgmental toward others. But folks, listen to what Jesus had to say himself about the narrow way. Matthew 7 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." In John 14, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I invite you this morning to turn to that passage in John chapter 14. We're going to take a moment and we're going to walk through these verses and ask ourselves, how can Jesus be the only way? Can he really? John chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Possibly the most clear teaching in Scripture about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ as the only way to God. You know, when you think about other religions, the simple fact of the matter is that other religions also claim to be the way. Whether that be Islam or Buddhism, they all claim to be the way. They claim that the others are false. Look at it this way. Followers of Christ, people who follow Christianity, say that theirs is the way. People who are Muslim, followers of Islam, say that theirs is the way. Followers of Buddhism say theirs is the way. It's kind of like that story of the four blind men who found an elephant. Do you know this story? And one of them walks up and they feel the leg of the elephant and they say, "Oh, it's very strong and large. It must be a tree." And one finds the trunk of the elephant and says, "You know, it's moving and it's you know, smaller. It must be a snake." One finds the ear and says, "It feels like paper, like really rough paper." And you know what? I think the tail was the snake. I don't remember all the details of it. But anyway, four blind men trying to understand what truth is. It's very similar to what people today are saying. They say that no one has a handle on truth. Nobody can know the whole truth because everybody only sees in part. And so they declare that all are true. We're just seeing different aspects. Because God is so big, He must have multiple ways to get to Him. Have you thought about the logic that they are the only ones who can see the whole elephant in their minds? They think we're only feeling the tree, where Buddhists are feeling the snake, and Muslims are feeling the ear, which feels like a rough paper. But then they set themselves up as saying, "We see it all, and it's all true." Jesus made it very clear. Not only is He the way, but He is the truth. And He is the life. Let's look at this passage for just a moment. The first thing we notice here in verses 1 through 4 is that Jesus is comforting His disciples. Now, why did they need to be comforted? Why did He say to them, "Let not your heart be troubled"? Why do they need this comfort? Well, Jesus has told them several times now that He was going away. In John chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 12 a couple of times, and then in chapter 13, He tells them again, "I'm going away." He also in chapter 12 told them that He was going to die. And then in chapter 13, Jesus predicts that one of His followers is going to betray Him. So we have, He's leaving, He's going to die, one of us is going to betray Him. The weight of all of these realizations put together must have been depressing to the disciples. And so Jesus looks at them and says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." There are several things here in these first four verses that Jesus says to them to bring them comfort. That's the first. Don't be agitated. Don't be Don't be upset. Trust in God and trust in me, he says. And then he goes on and lets them know, hey, I'm leaving, but I have a purpose behind my leaving. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I get finished preparing that place for you, I'm going to come back and I'm going to bring you back with me. Then he says, you know the place where I'm going. Don't worry about this. It's all okay. You know where I'm going. Well, the disciples were not so sure. And Thomas spoke up and he said to them, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? So what was it that Thomas did not understand here? Well, he tells us he didn't know where Jesus was going. He didn't know the way to be able to follow him. But more importantly, he did not understand the spiritual implications of what Jesus is saying. Remember, this is Thursday night before Jesus is to be crucified on Friday. He's about to be betrayed by one of his disciples. And they're gathered together in the upper room there in Jerusalem. And Jesus is talking to them. And in Thomas's mind, he's probably thinking, where are you going? Are you going tonight? Are you going in the morning? How are we going to be able to follow you if you leave without us? We want to stay with you, Jesus. He says, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? He missed the spiritual implications here. And so Jesus clarified for his disciples, what is the gospel message? The good news. And that clarification is wrapped up in verse 6. When Jesus said, I am the way. He said, you know the way because I am the way. There is no other way to God. I am the only way. And he goes on and he says, I am the truth. You see, there are lots of truths out there today. There are lots of people claiming that they have the truth. But Jesus is the only one who claims that he is the truth. Do you notice the difference there? To have the truth and to be the truth. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. The life that he gives when we trust in him as our Savior. Folks, the culture today is going to pressure us to have an inclusive mindset. And you know, let me hasten to say, I love cultural diversity. I love getting to know different cultures. I love being in different cultures. I've had the privilege over my 44 plus years to travel many places and be a part of many different cultures, whether that's here within the United States or worldwide. I love cultural diversity. There's nothing wrong with cultural diversity or cultural pluralism. That can be more of a problem. When they say that we have to accept as truth everything every other culture believes. We cannot allow the cultural pressure to be inclusive, to dilute the truth that Jesus is the only way. The complete truth and the life that we can have through faith in him. Because the simple fact is this, when we look at all religions, they cannot all be true. They cannot all be true. So this morning, I encourage you to think about Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There is no other solution. There is no other way. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today, you can trust in a lot of things. You can trust in your religion, your mindset. But truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. And Jesus is absolutely the only way that we can ever get to heaven. I encourage you this morning, if you don't know Him, talk to somebody today and find out how you can have Him as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for a time to come together and to look at this simple truth. Father, we thank You that You provided us with the ability, no, not the ability, but the privilege of knowing You through Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray now that if there are any here today that do not know You, Father, I just pray that You would draw them to Yourself. So that when You send Jesus to come back for us, Father, that they will be able to go and be with You. Father, we thank You for Jesus, and we pray all these things in His name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to sing a song. And if God has placed it on your heart that you need to respond to this message, we invite you to do so here at the altar. If you know someone that needs to know Jesus today, I invite you to pray for that person specifically. If you are that person who needs to know Jesus today, I invite you to come and speak with me or speak with whoever it is that you're here with and ask them how that you can know Jesus as your personal Savior as we sing this song.